There's no way you can sit there right this minute and have a clue. I'll just tell y'all, God is so hilariously funny. Messing with me, just messing with me. Let me go ahead and toss out one verse just to help you know why she sang that song, because she didn't know why she sang that song. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you this morning, is it the will of God for everyone on the face of the earth to be saved? That verse tells us, thy will be done. Thy will be done. If you're going to say, by the way, if you're going to say this morning, well, God's going to do what God's going to do, then you don't have to worry about it. But if you say, it is my job to do God's will, then God's will be done when you get up and do God's will. Come on. Y'all don't know what's coming next, do you? So you know that I ain't done right there, right? So I'm going to talk about Carrie a little bit. Do y'all know that everything that goes on, you don't know about it? Y'all understand that? Oh, my son came in last night. He had a really funny look on his face. He said, we had an interesting evening. When he comes home at 11 o'clock or 11:30 at night and tells me that, you just... They were all together. It's the Harold and Whitney, Bo and Carrie, Jeremy and Malia. They've decided that God, in order for them to do the will of God, their job is to go and pray Jericho around a strip joint in Ottumwa, Iowa. Do y'all even know there's a strip joint in Ottumwa, Iowa? Do y'all even know that? I only know it because I used to ride around with Jim Clark in a police car. And we went down the alley behind the strip joint and talked to the girls. So they end up in the alleys in Ottumwa, Iowa last night, breaking up fights, a woman being beaten, and they stopped that, got the police there to try to protect that woman, got to see a woman protected by a bouncer that was smoking a cigarette, so they couldn't really do very much. They're just praying against that sin place. Can I tell you something this morning? There are people that are so far from God. Does God want them saved? Who's going to go get them? That fell a little silent. Does God want them saved? Yes. Who's going to go get them? Must be them. They went. The night before that, I believe, were you over there then on the... They went hunting homeless people. Do y'all know there's homeless people in Ottumwa, Iowa? Do we care? We live over here. We started a Hispanic church. We started a Hispanic church in Ottumwa. We're done with Ottumwa. No, there's homeless people in Ottumwa. So Friday night, they're over there looking for homeless people who to say to them, we care about you. Does God want homeless people saved? Who's supposed to reach them? We're not doing real good on the second part. Does God want strippers saved? Does God want the men who go to strip clubs saved? Does God want homeless people saved? Who do you think's going to reach them? The church of Jesus Christ. If we don't do his will, that's what this is all about. Mission 360 is saying, what can I do? And everybody is not, you know, I'm not going to a strip club. Sorry. I'm going to tell you, I'm 60 years old, but my eyes can't take that. I can't do that. That's not going to be my calling in life. We've already had several men volunteer, but we're going to... No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes you just shut up. Just shut up. Do you realize? I mean, I've told you about people that, you know, they were alcoholics and they think their thing is to go into bars. Some people that were alcoholics can't do that because they go, I can't do that. But somebody else can. I'm not telling you everybody in this room's got to go deal with homeless people or women who work in strip clubs. But I'm telling you everybody in this room is obligated to do something for God and His glory. Done. Did I mention volleyball? We got to have a transition here. Bound to give thanks. Bound to give thanks. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Just A. I'm just going to read the first part of that. It says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as the truth." I'm reading the whole thing. We are bound. Oh, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. No wonder I'm in the wrong place. I heard thanks go by. I'm like, where's the part I'm after? Okay. But we are bound. It makes it work with the sermon so much better. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you. We'll stop right there. We are bound to give thanks always for you. Can I tell you, God is thankful for you? If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, He is so grateful that you've heard Him speaking to you. He's called you out of the miry clay. He has said, "Come to where I am. Let me set you on the solid rock. Get out of that." And I know, you know, we debate over sinlessness, but I'm telling you this morning, God doesn't want you in the sin business. He does not want to just save you in sin. He wants to save you from it. Wow. I don't know if we know how good God is and how powerful He is. So, this is Thanksgiving. This is my Thanksgiving sermon. The word Thanksgiving occurs in the Bible 28 times, at least in the King James, the thing I've read, 28 times. So Thanksgiving is a biblical concept, but I fear that as a holiday, I'm not sure that that's a biblical concept. Now, it might have been 150 years ago. It might have been when the President of the United States says, "Let's have a day where men give thanks to God for His blessings." But over the years, you know, now it is the day before you go shopping. You eat a good meal, you sleep all afternoon, and you go out at midnight and shop. That's what Thanksgiving is. And a lady on TV the other day was standing here in a store talking about the Black Friday. That's what they call it. That's the national holiday now. And she said, "Have y'all noticed Thanksgiving has disappeared? We go from Halloween to Christmas." The news lady said, "Thanksgiving has disappeared." Wow. And I really fear there is some truth to that. Giving thanks has disappeared. On Thanksgiving Day, many, many people will have a meal together and they will say, "What are you thankful for?" "I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for, you know, having a good job. I'm thankful." And they will be thankful, but to whom are they being thankful? That's what I'm talking about. I'm afraid God is not high on that list of who they are thankful for. But we want to look at the word bound today. The word bound. I'm going to give you some different ways we think of the word bound. Bound to. Some people hear that and they think eventually it will happen. You know, man, it's bound to come by. It's bound to come up somewhere. It's bound to. It's bound to. It means eventually. So Paul, then, you would say the verse goes something like this. Eventually, we will learn to thank God for you. You think that's what that word means right there? Eventually? So Paul might have said something like this, you know, "There was a time when I wasn't very thankful, but eventually I became more thankful." That... really, it's not that horrible of a thought, because he might say learning that is a process, and that's good for us when we process that. So it's not horrible, but it's not the meaning of the word there. bound, just the word bound. If someone is bound, they're tied up, bound. And I know I've told this before, but this is really funny. Y'all know my parents raised foster children. They were foster parents, and they didn't know it. I was working on a riverboat at the time, and I had called home on a ship-to-shore radio because that's what we had to use. Had to key a mic to talk, and if they were talking and I had the mic keyed, I didn't hear them. So I was talking to them, and this little five-year-old girl, foster girl, was there, and she went in the other room because she heard them talking, but she didn't know who they were talking to, so she went and picked up the phone and was listening. She never said a word. She was just listening. And my dad said, "Where are you at?" He said, "Well," I said, "well, we're tied up. The lock's down, and we're tied up here, I don't know, somewhere around on the Ohio River somewhere." And we went on, you know, I just was telling them I was on a riverboat, so we were tied up. A little while after my parents got off the phone, they found that little girl sitting in the living room crying her head off. And they said, "What's wrong, baby?" She said, "They've got Terry tied up somewhere, and I don't know where he's at." She was 5 years old, didn't even know who I was, except that I showed up once in a while because I was gone from home already, or away from home working. So you get the word bound right there. You're tied up, forced into something. So that Paul might have said something like, I have no choice. God tied me up and said, I gotta give thanks." Well, you see, that would be a little disingenuous. Then, and I got to go ahead and give you tonight's sermon. Men ought to give thanks. That's tonight's sermon. And it's part two of this, so I'm just going to go ahead and toss out to you. Ought to, you know. And I'm saying this can be a possibility. It's going to be the sermon tonight, but you'll understand tonight why it's not the meaning here. It depends on how you use the word ought, for one thing. If you think ought means the mental capacity to do right, but not always the want to that goes with it, you know, I know we ought to do that. I know we ought to, but I'm not going to. See, Paul says, you know, and if you're looking at an NIV, by the way, it says ought to. That's the reason I tossed that in there. That's wrong. It's not like, "I know I ought to give thanks for you." That's not what it means here at all. So, if those are the wrong meanings of the word bound, let's look at what the word is, all right? Point number one. Are you going to put that up there? Yeah. That's the Greek word, ophilio. Ophilio. So, everybody clear now on what it means? Ophilio. Did you know you could speak Greek? Yeah, ophilio. So, now that makes it crystal clear. Ophilio. That means, it really means obligated, I don't want to say by law. Let me just explain to you. This is the word that you would use for, we would use for accrued interest. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that'll make you want to just stand up and shout and say, "Man, that is a biblical concept, accrued interest." You know what accrued interest is, don't you? We have a mortgage. When we built our house, the bank that holds, think with me, if you buy a car, it's going to be the same deal. You're going to go to a lender who is going to write a check to either the builder of the house or the car dealer, and you're going to drive off in the car, and the car is paid for as far as the car dealer is concerned or the builder is concerned for your house. And yet somebody else holds your debt. You with me? When you go in, the car dealer gives you the car and they get the money, but somebody else gives them the money. So when I'm talking about debt here or accrued interest, I'm not talking about the debt you owe. I'm talking about the interest on the debt. If you were here last Sunday morning, We tried to explain that we all carry a sin debt. We are indebted for our sins, and the penalty for sin is death. I think you can find that in Romans 6:23, I'm going to say. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus goes to the cross and pays the debt for you so that Satan no longer has any authority to say, I got you, you owe me. We say, no, I owe Jesus. And I am accruing interest on the debt. The debt's paid. I don't owe the sin debt anymore. He paid that. But now I am bound by the accruing of the interest on the debt. I hate to use that illustration, but that's what this word means in the Greek. And I think it makes sense. So Paul says, I feel this growing responsibility to give thanks for the church, because the same God who loves Paul loves the people in Thessalonica. So he's telling them, the way I pay interest on the debt is to love people like Jesus loved people. If I don't do that, if I do not love people like Jesus loved people, see what I'm doing? I'm trying to take away the debt and put it onto myself and say, well, he can love, but I'm not going to love. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's going to say, whoa, whoa. I paid the debt, but now you owe me. That's point two. Let's leave that. Let's leave that. Woo. Y'all good though with what I've just said? We are now paying interest on the debt. Once for all that, but forever accruing interest. This mortgage is not for 30 years. It's for our life. Wow. 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to read that verse and read down through 15. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, Carrie just sang a song called Thy Will Be Done. And it's great to pray Thy Will Be Done, but look at what Paul said. From the beginning, God's plan was for you to be saved. How many of you believe that God's plan is for you to be saved? Show me your hand. How many of you believe God probably did not want you saved and that you were rejected? Don't raise your hand, because you may feel that way. See, I'm going to just mess with this for just a minute. There are people who believe that some people are predestined to not be saved. That from the beginning, God chose some, therefore, he must reject others. And if you're rejected, you can't be saved. But please look at what Paul said. He said, God chose you, but he used our gospel to reach you. Do you see the difference there? If you're going to say, well, God's going to do what God's going to do. If God wants you saved, you're going to get saved whether I do anything about it or not. That lets me off the hook and puts it all on God. And God tells us, go and do it. Do you see the problem there? If I'm going to say, well, if God wants them saved, they're going to be saved. No. God wants them all saved. Jesus didn't die for some. He paid the debt so that whosoever will may come. Everybody has the ability to come to Christ, but we are charged with taking the gospel to the world. That's super easy right there, at least in my brain, but I'm simple. So, last week, and this is where I get this, we talked about cheap grace, where we say, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, see, here's my problem. If you say, well, I agree with that, salvation is a gift. Doesn't cost a thing. It's a gift. It's free. Wow. If you went to your parents and said, you know, for my birthday, I would like to have I'm trying to think of something somewhat ridiculous. I would like to have a stretch limousine with a 30-inch TV so all my friends can ride around and watch TV. And I'd like is Xbox new or old? Old. What's new? PlayStation 2? How many fingers were you holding up? Okay, y'all get the point. I don't know. Y'all know. So you tell your parents, for my birthday, I would like a stretch limo with a 30-inch TV and all of this thing so that we can ride around and I can just have fun with my friends. And your parents go, you know what? He's never asked for much before. Let's go get the kid a stretch limo. Now, we're just going to rent it, you understand. But on his birthday, that limo's going to pull up. They're going to have that TV. We're going to load them kids up and ride them around for about 3 hours. Wouldn't that be crazy? And you're sitting in there and you're looking and you're not getting very much. And you card or two, you shake them for money. No money, throw the card away. I've been around birthdays. I know how that works. And all of a sudden you look out the front door and there's a Hummer stretch limo pulling up. And you run out and you jump in. And you start tearing the seats up and breaking the windows. And the guy gets out and says, whoa, what are you doing? And you go, I don't care about this thing. It didn't cost me nothing. And he says, well, young man or woman, your parents paid a ridiculous sum of money for you to have the enjoyment of this day. And you don't even care. Are you tracking with me now? So people get saved, they feel like they're under the conviction of God and the condemnation of the whole world is on them, and they make their way to an altar of prayer and they go, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm lost and undone, and if you don't save me, I have no hope. And God says that I will, and he loves you to himself and forgives all your sins. And you walk out the door and start tearing the seats out of your limo and breaking out the windows, meaning continuing in sin. And you say, who cares? It didn't cost me anything. It's free. And I'm not your daddy. But let me tell you, it cost him everything. It cost him his life. And we disregard. That's called cheap grace when you say those words. Because it didn't cost me anything, I'm going to presume upon Jesus that he must keep loving me no matter what I do. Wow. Can I tell y'all that ain't my theology? Have y'all figured that out yet? That's not my theology. Wow. See, here's my theology. I don't even know who wrote this song. I should have looked it up. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Do you hear the debt? Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Because he pays the debt for us doesn't mean he doesn't care. Wow. In fact, if anything, just the opposite. That debt is accruing interest day by day. And Paul says, pay your interest, folks. Pay your interest. I'm paying my interest by loving you in Thessalonica. Paul went and planted churches and took Jesus to the Europeans, the Gentiles, and Jews where he could find them. Wow. So, I think I've covered from the beginning. Back to right here, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word any right there has got to mean some. If you're going to say that God did not, in fact, intend for everyone to have at least the possibility of salvation, God is not willing that his predetermined should perish. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm not willing that any should perish, which includes you and me, but it includes homeless people, not just in Ottumwa, wherever they are. You say, well, you know, a lot of those people made their own bed. They ought to sleep in it. They won't go out and get a real job and make it on their own. If they're mentally ill, put them in an institution. Well, you got to pay for that too, by the way. See, we talk about people like that, and we degrade them in our minds so that we are not accountable for them to ourselves, much less God. And we're really saying, I don't care if they get saved or not. They're not my concern. They probably have family somewhere. Let them go home. I'm not doing anything for them. Wow. It's a good thing Jesus didn't have that attitude. The last time I checked, he was the King of Heaven. He lived there. He was there before he came to this earth. Jesus lived in heaven. That makes me think, I wish I could sing. Boy, right now, if I could sing, I'd be down on one knee singing. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the cruel cross on Calvary, where he gave his life for me and you. You and me. Let's turn that around. That way rhymes that way. Wow. If I could only sing. But I'll say the words. You ought to thank God that Jesus didn't change his mind. You ought to thank God that Jesus said, Lord, if there's any way that this cup might pass from me so that I don't have to do this, then he stopped. He thought about it. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went to the cross. If you've never had a Gethsemane experience, if you've never been on your face, I could just do this all day. Moses fled Egypt and went to the backside of the desert. He's 80 years old, or very close to it, if not 80 years old. He's 79 or 80 years old. And he's up minding a few sheep. And he sees a bush on fire. And he says, here too, in the King James, I will turn aside, and I will see why the bush burns but is not consumed. And he said, whoop, whoop, that's really weird. Whoop, what's going on? He says, Moses, the bush knows my name. He says, you get those sandals off. You're standing on holy ground. Don't just walk over here. You had a burning bush? You ever had a burning bush experience where you cannot stand? You got to get down. You got to lay down. I was too ashamed to do it the other day. I was saying, what will people think? God told me to lay down right here. Right here. Right while it was the prayer time. In fact, I got somebody else. I don't remember who I called up that day. Oh, maybe my friend from Oskaloosa. God told me to lay down, and I didn't do it because I said, what are people going to think? People are going to think I'm nuts. I'm not sure Jan last week didn't say, I thought about standing up and I didn't do it. I said, why? If God really says it. Now, if God don't say it, don't stand up in here and start yakking, because that ain't right. So I got to repent. I don't know why he told me that. I don't know why he told me that. Maybe so when I preach this sermon and I tell you sometimes you cannot stand in the presence of God when you think about who he really is, because he's so God and we're so not God, and yet he gives us even the time of day. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful for that. Here's the tough one. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Wow. We say this all the time. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Whatever that is. If it was easy, everybody would do it. And if we make salvation so easy that we tell people, oh, you know, God isn't concerned about you changing your life. He just wants you to acknowledge him. Man, that is you're number one, you're not even being honest to the person. The day you put your sin debt onto him, you become a debtor to Christ. You become a debtor to Christ, and the interest is accruing daily, compounded. And Paul used that exact word when he said, because I'm still paying interest on my debt, I'm going to love you and be thankful for you like Jesus. I make an assumption. Who is Jesus talking to here? Jews. Jesus is talking to Jewish people, Jewish believers. Think about this now. Who were called the elect or chosen people of God? Jews. Now I'm talking about in Matthew 7, not Thessalonica, but when Jesus was talking in Matthew 7. Who was he telling that there was a broad road that leads to destruction? Jewish people. And the Jews were the elect, the chosen people of God. And I looked up on the internet, do all Jews go to heaven? And there's all kinds of debate. All kinds of debate. If they were in the old dispensation prior to Jesus, all Jews went to heaven. I'm like, really? I could take you to the book of Exodus and tell you that's not true. If you want to look that up, look up Exodus 32 and maybe 32. I'm just stabbing in the wind. That may not even be right, but it's around there. God said there, because Moses, and I love this, I've had also people tell me, well, you can't have your name blotted out of the book of life. Once you're written down, God can't. He doesn't have an eraser. That's, isn't that cute? Doesn't that sound spiritual? God doesn't have an eraser. He writes your name down in the book. You can't be erased. Revelation 3:5. Can you look up Revelation 3:5? I'm pretty sure on that one. The other one, 32:32 in Exodus. All I know is it's the same numbers. And I don't even know that. You know what Revelation 3:5 says, don't you? Now to him who overcomes, he will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his holy angels. You see there? He won't blot their name out. Then why is that verse even there? Look at what the third word says. He who overcomes. Are you an overcomer today? Are you an overcomer today? Because if you're not overcoming today, that verse does not apply to you. You have no hope that Christ is going to name you before his Father and the holy angels if you're not overcoming, if you're not paying the interest on the debt. You have no reason to claim that your name will not be blotted out of his book. I just had somebody the other day said, it was a woman talking to her son. She said, Grandpa said, keep your robe white, boy. Referring to that verse right there. How do you make sure you go to heaven in the end? Keep your robe white. Be an overcomer. Whew, that's not really where this sermon goes. But I like it. Now, short version. In God's perfect will, everyone, you and everyone else, would be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. But God gives you and I this amazing ability to choose to accept or reject Christ. We call that free moral agency. Paul said to the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica, it was God's will from the beginning that you be saved. And these were Gentiles now. The church at Thessalonica, they could have been some of both. But he's in Europe now. He's talking to Gentiles that the Jews never thought could be saved. And Paul says, from the beginning, it was God's will that you be saved. But he used my gospel, my preaching, to tell you that. And now you're saved. Do you see they had to make a choice in there? We call that God's permissive will. We call it free will. You decide to accept the gift of God's grace or reject it. So now, here's Thanksgiving. Verses 16 and 17, we're back in 2 Thessalonians. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. See, we're supposed to be working. We are supposed to be serving. Isn't that one of our words? Yes. Serving and giving and learning and praying all around us. This is the will of God. That is the will of God. Jesus Christ and God the Father loves us. We should be thankful. That love includes unending affirmation, meaning He tells us over and over. That love builds hope in us through God's grace. And finally, that love is the strong foundation for every good word and every good work you will ever say or do. This coming Thursday, along with the blessings of health, family, and provision, this truth is what we should be thankful for. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. And the interest is accruing daily. Stand with me this morning. Would you thank you for your attention?